Philippians chapter number 4, let's read a few verses together. I want to share something real quick tonight in preparation for our missions conference. Some things the Lord has taught me, and the majority of what I'm going to say, I had a long phone call with Brother Harris a while back, and we sat down, or on opposite ends of the spectrum, but I sat down, and he sat down about 2,000 miles away, and we had this long conversation together, and, you know, we discussed, you know, the relationship that we ought to have with each other, not as Pastor Burke and Steve Harris, but as missionary church. And I was able to share a lot of this at that meeting I was at last week, but I really want to add a little bit and share some more with our church tonight so that we can stop and think about the importance of what we're doing. This work of missions, church, is so important. It's sadly become just something that a lot of times we throw out there, like we have, you know, a food pantry, we have bus, we have missionaries, we have, and we list the ministries. I'm not belittling any ministry, but this is the Great Commission. This is the work of getting the gospel out. And it's something that ought to thrill us. I mean, it ought, like hardly any other thing in life, the work and the being able to participate in seeing the gospel go out to a lost and dying world ought to thrill our hearts. When we hear these letters tonight about those in South Africa and Mozambique that accepted Christ as their Savior, that ought to pump you up, man, to know that God is saving souls and the Word of God is being taken to these places. So, you know, we sat down, we had this conversation, and we talked. And if I can just be very real with you tonight, and you know, whenever I became the pastor, you know, I was 29 years old. You know, I knew everything that college had taught me in my years, when I've been 7-8 years serving in the ministry here already. You know, I thought, you know, I've learned what I need to learn. I can handle this. And but it wasn't like a month into it that, you know, I'm not going to rehash terrible things. But, you know, about a month into being a pastor, you know, it's not a good thing when your then, I don't want you looking at Brother Webster, right? Our then treasurer was on the news for some things that he did illegally outside of the church. That was not a pleasant experience, all right? You're all staring at me. When you're 29 and the pastor and everybody's going to look at you what to do, that was scary, all right? They didn't teach you that in Bible school, right? It wasn't a lesson, you know, how to handle the great tragedy when someone in a position falls in your church and they're on the news. I missed that class. I don't think they offer it now, Brother Peterson. I don't. Yeah, no. They still don't offer it, right? You know, it wasn't there. You know, and by God's grace, we got through it. I thank the Lord. I actually called the pastor of the church where I went to college and explained the situation. Said, I'm seeking wisdom. He said, are you going to quit? No. He said, well, then God, you and God need to get close on this. And he hung up. That was the most terrible advice I ever got in my life, right? And, you know, I was like, you're supposed to fix my problem. And he didn't. He just told me that God was going to see his words before I hung up. I said, God's going to see what you're made out of if you're real. And it was hard. And I don't think many people will ever understand how difficult a situation that was. But it was hard. We had a couple other things that we went through, difficult. And then I talked to Brother Harris before I speak this lesson. I told you I had this conversation, told him what I was going to say. Then he had a great tragedy in his life and with their family. And no one trained us how to handle that either. And it was hard. I learned a lot. I did a lot of things that I think we did right, and I did some things that I know I did wrong. He was very gracious. I'm just telling, I'm just trying to be real to you this evening, all right? Everybody with me? Y'all smiling, all right? Me and Brother Harris's relationship wasn't great. Just wasn't great. There was this awkwardness, this kind of, and we struggled. But then the church, you know, sent me out to see the Christiansens, and Brother Harris went with me. And I'm looking at you and just being honest, right? I wasn't thrilled that he was going with me. I was just like, what am I going to say to him, right? You know, I loved him, but we struggled. And a lot because of me, right? Not putting on him at all. But that was one of the greatest trips of my entire life, not just because everything we got to do with Christiansens and how well that went. But Brother Harris and I spent, basically 14 days completely with each other. Every morning, every night, and in the middle of the night. That man never sleeps, I'm just telling you. And we were in this little apartment, both in the same room, and he stayed up all night, and so I couldn't sleep. So I talked to him all night, and it really changed our relationship. I saw things differently, and he did too, but it kind of began a healing in our lives. And I'm looking at you now, and telling you that 2018, that one of my best friends is Brother Steve Harris. I call him, I talk to him, I can share with him. Just last week, I asked his counsel on some things, and he shared it with me, then he asked for counsel, and we enjoy. I can't wait to go down there. You know, the last, I don't know how many years it's been, but it's been sweet. But at first, it was a struggle. And I've had to learn a lot, and I want to share with you some things I've learned. That's fair enough, right? About our relationship between us and our missionary. Things that we need to keep in mind. And things that a lot of times, I guess we just get this mentality that we're here, they're there. You know, we love them, we support them, we keep them in our prayers. We got their picture on our refrigerator, right? But how real of a relationship do you have with them? I want to read you a verse. Let's look at it real quick in Philippians chapter number 4. And I want you to catch something as you read this, all right? Here's Paul, a missionary, writing back to this church at Philippi that has been a blessing to him. And I want you to see how he's a blessing, how they were a blessing. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, "These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. For I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done." So here you go, church. You have done awesome, Paul says. "That ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I want you to see the one thing that Paul said, this is how you have stood out from all these other churches. This one thing you have done. And it's this. Communicate. Communicate. You know what happens? I just talked to Brother Roberts just a few minutes ago, actually. Let me tell you what happens, all right? We're just having, the president called it years ago, fireside chat, all right? We're just having a little conversation, all right? Let me tell you what happens usually. A missionary, when they're sent out of a church, and we believe they should be sent out of a church. We believe in local church missions. Amen. And what happens is usually you have a Brother Harris and a Brother Roberts, and their whole life for all these years is just centered around their church. Their life is church. I know I wasn't here, but Brother Harris served in this church. And I know there's some in here that saw that, all right, involved in ministries and doing all this stuff. We most recently saw Brother Roberts do that. This was his life. I mean, he was involved in visitation, nursing home, junior church. He led to singing on Thursday nights. I mean, he couldn't sing at all, but he did it, all right? We did all these things, and he was involved, and this was his life. I mean, every event that happened, he was there. And then, all right, here's Brother Roberts. You got the picture, right? Y'all with me still, right? Imagine this little circle. This is Brother Roberts' life. It was church. Everybody still with me? I mean, it was everything. His whole life was church. And then we sent him out to Colorado. All right? And now he's out here. And, you know, everything we did, he was involved in it. Every decision we made, I usually had him in the office and we talked about it because I was trying to train him for what I was going to do. You know, we're facing this. We have to make this decision, handling this, or go and visit this person. And I mean, he was involved in every decision. He said in our meetings that we'd have some Sunday nights. He was involved in everything. And now he's over here in Gunnison. And we're going on. Our life's still going on. We're still going our buses. We're still making our decisions, voting on everything and doing everything. And all that we're doing is still happening. But he is not involved in all of it. There's nothing wrong. That's what he's doing, what he's supposed to be doing. But we forget that, you know, Brother Miss So-and-so passes away and he wasn't here with them. He hears about it the next week. You know, big things are going on and we're rejoicing, and then 2 weeks later he finds out. And there is, everybody look at me, this... You feel disconnected. Even though it's your home church, and even though you're right there, you're just not connected. It's not that it's evil, where no one's doing anything wrong. I'm just telling you how the devil gets in. And then what happens is he feels like out there in Gunnison, he feels like that, do they care? Then he says, well, of course they care, right? I know my church cares, right? But then they have, you know, their, you know, when they had, you know, a birthday, and we all sang happy birthday to him, and or an anniversary, and we said, hey, and our name's on the board, and everybody walked up and shook their hand, and happy anniversary, and now nothing. And the devil says, they don't care. Now, do we care? Absolutely. But let's just be honest, we're not communicating. And I'm not saying we're wrong. That's what happens, right? When someone moves that far away. You know, and we're in a far better place now than we were, can you imagine back in the day? Or Adoniram Judson went out, right? There was no communication, you know, for years, right? At least now I can pick up my phone right now and look at his ugly face. I can say, hey, Brother Roberts, here we are, right? And we can see each other, right? We have that technology today. But it doesn't change the fact the devil tries to get him to doubt. Do they care? They write a letter. We just read about five of them, of souls being saved. And how many of us are going to go home and say, write an email to Brother Hammett and say, boy, praise God, Brother Hammett. We were praying for you and we rejoice that there were two souls saved and they're growing in the Lord. Probably none of us. And are we excited about it? I hope so. I think we are. But we don't communicate. And the missionary out there starts feeling, do they care? Then he'll clear his head and say, of course they cared. But then after that goes on for a while, the next step is this. They begin to imagine this criticism that really isn't there. They start to think, you know, that people are criticizing their work or something that's going on in their life, and there's this disconnect. No one's done anything wrong, but the devil's good at that. I've not had a conversation with Miss Christensen about this, but I'm just guessing some of this she can relate to. Because it's real. I've touched base with our missionaries and other missionaries, and I've had this conversation with them. Yeah. And then the missionary comes home, and instead of everybody rushing in the room and, "We're so glad you're home," and, "Man, praise the Lord, how's it been going? You know, what all's been going on? Please tell us." And he'll come and sit in the pew and their family, and a few people will come up. Their kids go into youth group and nobody talks to them. And the devil keeps on in the ear. And if you don't think this is a real problem, look up the stats of the amount of missionaries that are coming off the field. Now I hope, because I think we're all on the same page on this, pretty much. We believe in local church missions. But are we doing our part as a local church? Are we in tune with what we're supposed to be doing? I mean, Paul said it this way: "You stand out, you have done so well because you did communicated. Yeah, they sent an offering, but it wasn't just that. I mean, look at the verse, all right? Verse number 15. It says, "But ye Philippians, knowing also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communed me as concerning giving." Yeah, they gave, but there's more to that. Look, "and what? Thank you, Paul, for what you helped us with." What they had received. Y'all see that with me? They communicated as to the giving and receiving. "Lord," or "Paul, here's what we want to give you, but thank you for the blessings." They communicated. And I think if there's something that we're lacking today in 2018, Independent Baptist Missions, with all of this technology at our fingertips, like never before in the history of this world, we don't communicate. I mean, do not respond in any way, but how many of us have sent a letter to one of our missionaries in the last year? How many of us have emailed one of our missionaries? Called? I mean, everyone, Brother Harris has a local phone number. You know that, right? Thanks to the internet and technology. It's like, it's the same thing as calling the guy across the street. I mean, you know, it's a local call. I mean, text, I mean, FaceTime, email, you know, we could go on for a long time with all of our ways of communicating now, right? Send a smoke signal, man. Do something, right? Do we communicate? So then they know we love them. Yeah, try that with your spouse. Well, they know. They do. Yeah. But the devil's trying to convince them otherwise. And it's important that we communicate, that we are on the same page. This week at Missions Conference, I'm going to give an opportunity. We're going to do something we've never done before, as far as I know, all right? And we're going to give opportunity for people, our families, to adopt one of our missionaries. You don't have to buy them a thing. I'm not asking you to do anything with that, all right? But it's just taking, and I know Miss Reba's been working on this for me, has phone numbers, emails. Just communicate. You don't have to communicate every day. You know, don't annoy them. I'm definitely not saying that. Every 10 minutes, "How you doing?" Text. "How you doing? What are you doing now? Pass out 300 tracks a day?" Right? No, all right? Do not do that, all right? But just communicate. When we read your missionary on Thursday night, their letter, and someone gets saved, tell them you heard about it. You know what that would do to them? You know what it does? Share. Paul said, this is it. This is what you stood out above every other church. You communicated. And it wasn't easy to communicate back then. Matter of fact, we know the way it happened. They sent Epaphroditus, who had to carry a message, find Paul and deliver it. We don't have to do that now. It's a little bit easier now, right? Communicate. Let me give you some thoughts that me and Brother Harris put down. I just want to give these to you real quick, all right? I'm going to give you, I think, 13 things. Ready? Write them down. Don't worry. I'm literally going to say them. We're going to go on. Ready? Write them down. Somewhere, write them down. Get out a pen, write them down. I'm not a dictator. I have no authority over anyone other than a pastoral authority. I'm not going to make you. I'm not going to give you a quiz. But as much authority as I may have, please jot these down. Number one, pray. Pray. Pray for your missionary. And when I talked to Brother Harris, we both agreed with this, that this is reciprocal. Everything I'm about to tell you, the missionary should do for you. So I'm not asking you to do anything that they shouldn't do for us. And I've already had a conversation with our sent out missionaries about this list. So they are on the same page as us. Pray. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. Now, in order to pray, you have to have an understanding of what's going on. So read the letters. When I read every letter we get, we try to read on Thursday nights. Not because we need time fillers. Matter of fact, I always run out of time. It's not the reason. It's because we need to pray. When we mention these things, write them down. Did you write down these men's name tonight? Did you write down these needs that these men asked us to pray for? I mean, pray. I mean, who can't? Who can't sit there and say, all right, Lord, be with Ted Alexander, Wayne Burke, Brian Robertson, Nick Christensen, Steve Harris, Hope Baptist Mission, Alice Demarest, Don Randall, Terry Hamilton, Joan Vaught, Brian Elam, Tom DePue, Alan Hawthorne, Jason Mueller, Goldman Gabbard, Mark Siepert, Mike Lehman, Mickey Kofer, Mojave Baptist, Anchor Baptist, Kent Gossmeyer, Wayne Grissom, Keith Kasner, Don Klo, Jody Hodnett, Rick Boekamp, Scott Kuzel, Bruce Moore, Paul Morrison, Doug Hammett, George Hammett, Pat Cassidy, Adam Rosenbaum, Micah Dorr, Nelson Dorr, Clint Verdon, Bonnie Wilson, and Paul Burbage. Bless them, Lord. Amen. Now, if that's what you're doing, don't quit. But why don't we start praying more specifics? See, I don't know what specifics to pray for. You will if you listen. So listen, have an understanding. Be devoted to it. And let the Holy Spirit lead. I've mentioned to Brother Harris and Brother Roberts, all right? That, you know, be careful about, you know, begging as a missionary. You know, we need this, 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 we need $7,000. I know we share needs, and I get that. But there's also a part, as Brother Harris, I think, has preached when he's been here. There's something else to say, and let your request be made known unto God. Nothing wrong with sharing a request with people unless you've not shared it with God. Share it with God. And what happens if Brother Roberts truly has a need and he's praying? And Joshua Morgan is on his knees praying for Brother Roberts and ask the Holy Spirit, and Lord, Holy Spirit, Lord, be with Brother Roberts, be with his family. They're lonely. The Thornsleys just left. The people, the only really fellowship they had. They're about to go out to this conference. They really need support. The parsonage is almost done. They just have a few more needs. And then you stop and be still. Does the Holy Spirit have the ability to lay upon his heart something he can do for them? No one's answering, but the answer is yes. Being led by the Holy Spirit, we're almost scared of that nowadays. But pray. Number two, I got to keep going. Participate. Be involved. Be involved. Go to the field. Go to the field. If you get an opportunity, I know some cannot, but if you get the opportunity, go. I mean, you know, I've always supported missionaries. I was taught to. prayed for them, probably not as I should growing up as a young person. But I'm just telling you, when I got off the airplane and Brother Colin Christensen picked me up, and that was my first, I mean, real missions trip. When I got back, it changed my life when it came to how I felt about missions. Brother Jordan and I and Brother Chad went to Mexico and we came back. It opened our eyes like never before. And we go back, but I just encourage you to participate. Get out there and try to go. Visit a missionary. Obviously, our theme for next week is invest. All right, we're going to talk about all these different ways you can invest, but participate. Find a way that you can invest in missions. Maybe it's a special need that you can help in giving. Maybe there's something Brother Mick did a while back when Brother Roberts needed some outside work done on a house before they could even begin the remodeling that parsonage they were given. You know, he went out there, boots on the ground, man, and used his talent that he has to do it. Participate. And then number three is purity. Purity. Say, what do you mean? Purity. Hold each other accountable in doctrine and in deeds. We as a church commission these missionaries. It is vital that we stay pure in doctrine. It's vital. What if our church goes apostate? Well, it could never happen at Cazado Baptist Temple. So has said the thousands of other churches that have gone apostate. I don't want it to. It's not on my agenda, all right? It's not on the bottom of some checklist. And because I don't go apostate, all right? No, all right? We don't want that. But I'm not a fool either. I just heard of a missionary out on a field. While he was out on a field, his church got a new pastor. Within 2 years, there was no one left in the church but the pastor. And then he shut the doors down. And here's a missionary out on the field. What do you do? We as a church have to make sure we stay true to doctrine. So you know what that is? Well, pastor, you better stay true to doctrine. I didn't say the pastor stay true. He's part of it. But the church, every one of us have an obligation to be in the Word of God, to study the Word of God, and to hold our missionaries accountable. Can I just tell you this? The Bible says there that he's given gifts the Lord has to his church. He gave the apostles, they are gone away, all right, prophets, all right, and they are, we got the completed Word of God. But then it says he's given us that evangelists and pastors and teachers. Your pastor and teacher, that's one, study the grammar in that verse, all right, it's one, pastors and teachers, and then evangelists. Evangelists are missionaries, those going out and doing evangelism. Look at me real quick. Our missionaries are gifts from God to our church. To help us. For what? Why did God give us pastors, teachers, and evangelists? Everybody look at me, it's important. He gave them to us what? Next verse. For the perfecting of the saints. You see, I and Brother Harris and Brother Roberts, we're working together for the maturing of the saints. All of us. That's our obligation. So purity. And I got to cruise. Number four, protect. Protect. A church should guard its missionary, and a missionary should guard their church. How should we protect? I'll give you five things just to jot down. I can't talk about it much. All right. Protect them when it comes to faith. Again, Brother Harris has a lot of false teachers around him. A lot. A lot of weird cults around him. We need to pray for him. Protect him in faith. Protect him on the field. That's why we took 3 years. 3 years. And we didn't add any missionaries to our missionary-supported list for 3 years for the purpose of building up a fund to be able to evacuate our missionaries. Because they're out there on the field, and if something tragic were to happen, we need to be ready. They're our responsibility. I know other churches will help, but our missionaries, Brother Roberts, Brother Harris out there on the field, they're our responsibility first and foremost. God forbid something happened, brother. If Brother Harris were to have a heart attack and he needs to be flown home immediately, we should be ready to do that. Amen. We should be ready to do that. I mean, we're so against, you know, we believe, you know, that local church. Well, then we have to take up all those responsibilities all these boards have done because churches didn't want to mess with it. That's why there's boards. You know that, right? Because churches, pastor, you know, pastor gets a phone call. I know you have a missionary. I know you're dealing with his taxes, his insurance, his retirement, his travel, his finding out what he needs, and list all these things that a church has to do. And the board says, but, you know, we can handle that. And most pastors say, you're on. Because that's a lot of work. But we try to follow the pattern in the Word of God. So it's good to amen. Amen, that's what we do. But then we need to do it. And we, on the field, protect them in the field, protect them in faith, protect their family. We need to look out for their family. Pray for them, their family. That's why one of the reasons we have in our budget line every year to fly home, you know, the kids for camp, because there needs to be a connection. There needs to be a connection. I've grown up in church. I spent a lot of time talking to some missionaries about this. And a long time when we were over with Brother Kent Gossmeyer, and this was our topic of conversation when me and him walked around. And it was this disassociation that missionary children will get with their home church. Because there's no communication. And when they turn 18, 19, and they come home and they sit in a church and they look around and no one even knows who they are. And so we've worked to change that. By God's grace, we're continuing. But because it's important. Help them in their finances. And we don't micromanage our missionaries, but we help them. You know, and we have in the church, amen. I pat you on the back. Praise the Lord for it, I guess. You know, Brother Roberts has a need. Brother Harris, the church, we're willing. And praise the Lord. And protect their future. In the days ahead, we should be thinking about, you know, Brother Harris, I'm sure, has in his mind he's going to die on the mission field. And, you know, I know it's on his mind because he told me. But that was on his father's mind too. Who's 96, 7 now? Somewhere around there. And we as a church should think about that. It's going to be hard to build a retirement 401k when you're living in Mexico. Not that you can't redo some preparation, but... And y'all, we may at first kind of think, eh. Most, I'm not saying all, but most every man, right? You know, you go to apply to a job, you know, and the retirement is something you're like, yeah, because that's going to happen someday, right? It's important. You know, some of you men have retired in the last few years, and you're glad there were some things... preparations made, and normally you were able to contribute, but then your work a lot of times did a lot too, matched you, or whatever the case. I'm just saying it should be at least in the conversation. Well, this is the Lord's work. It's different. He may live to be, I hope he does live to be 98, but he won't be in Mexico at 98. Well, this is a weird conversation. We need to be thinking about these things. Because if we wait till he's 97 to have this conversation, too late. You're all just staring at me. This is awesome, right? But prepare for the future. But protect them. Promote them. A church should promote their missionary. And a missionary should promote their church. Any chance you get, you find people, go to another church, all right? You maybe you got a coworker that goes to whatever Baptist church, all right? Or maybe a family member that lives down in Tennessee that goes to whatever Baptist church. Tell them about your missionaries. Say, man, you got to have these guys in. Man, mention them, promote them. Encourage, you know, do that. And a missionary should always, if Brother Roberts can't praise the Lord for his home church, there's something wrong. We ought to be able to support one another to supporting churches or possible churches or obviously bring them before our home church and keep them in front of them. Don't be afraid. I gotta hurry. Number 6, don't be afraid to pledge or to make a promise and then keep that promise. You know, pledge. Don't be afraid to make a promise. Pray about something you can do for your missionary and be, let it be Spirit-led, and then be determined to do it. This week is a great example. I hope you pray about what God would have us to do for missions. And then what God lays on your heart, do it. Follow the Lord. Trust the Lord. Number seven, persist. Don't give up. There'll be hard times. There'll be times when the missionary wants to quit and he can't. He has to persist. There'll be time whenever we, you know, will maybe go through a hard time and it'd be difficult. We have to be determined to persist. Number eight, plan. Set some goals. You got to set some goals, you know, when it comes to our missionaries, and set some goals our missionaries should for us. And we ought to be able to work this plan together. But number nine, be pliable or be flexible, because usually the plan that we worked out doesn't work exactly like we thought. So we have to be kind of flexible there and show some grace and be ready. We got all behind Brother Don Clo, if you remember, there in Scotland, and he's there in Fukler, Scotland, all right? No, I didn't say that right. It's a terrible Scottish accent. But, all right, that's where he's at. And he was led of the Lord. That's where he has a house, and that's where he's gone. And you heard his letter 2 weeks ago. Nothing. Nothing. Not one convert, no one interested. But in this town that they started doing a Bible study, you know, about 10 miles away in Lewismouth, they've had all these interests, had a couple souls saved in their meeting. And he said, for whatever reason, we have nothing here, but we're going to focus our ministry where God has opened the door. Now, that wasn't his plan. And we don't sit there and say, well, you're a loser. We're done with you. Now, we have to understand, God works. God moves. We trust our God. Be flexible. Be patient. Be patient, number 10. Be patient. It may take time. It may take time. Brother Harris did not plan to be in Magdalena de Aquino for 11 years. That was not his plan. I promise you that. But he is. And he's not leaving tomorrow either, because he knows God's not done there. So we have to be patient. Number 11, be persuaded. So what do you mean, be persuaded? That God is able. Amen. Be persuaded as a missionary that your church is going to do right. As a church, be persuaded the missionary is going to do right. Trust them. Be persuaded. Number 12, make it personal. Make it personal. Again, I've already talked about it. Talk to them. Communicate. Tell them you're praying. You say, well, they should know. We stand behind them. Yeah. As my wife should know that I love her. But if I go a week without talking to her, something's not right. And let's be honest, if you're not in communication, your heart. I'll give you an easy example. I love the buses. I love them. I thank the Lord for the kids that are saved. But in the last 9 months, I have prayed more for the buses than I have in a long time. I have prayed for children by name more than I did. Why? Why, Brother Jordan, put you on the spot. In the last 9 months, have I prayed for buses and prayed for children by name more than I ever have in the previous 3 years? I'm on it. It's personal. Now I'm not just praying for the Milford route. I'm praying for Tony and Lauren and RJ and Josh, because it's personal. And when we get involved personally, Rachel, can I please say something about Miss Harris real quick? My sister, Rachel, we were talking this week. Through some circumstances, she had to talk to Mrs. Harris about some things, asking her advice on something that she was going through. But since then, they've talked almost every day. And she sat in my office and she said, I have a better relationship with her than I ever had before. She's real. She's a person. Because it became personal. And the last thing is this, number 13, praise. Praise. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. Amen? Now, don't get ahead of me. Don't think I've gone wacky on my next little three things I'm going to tell you. Wait for me, all right? Don't think I'm man worship or nothing. But if you want to jot something else down, I think it'll make you think. Ready? Praise them. Give honor to them, honor's due. Listen to these three things. Ready? Real heroes get mentioned. Real heroes get mentioned. We ought to speak about them. Real heroes get mentioned. I have a lot of people in history I think are awesome to study. And the reason we talk about them is because they did some amazing things. And we talk about them because real heroes get mentioned. Before you get carried away, there's no such thing as a perfect person. We don't worship people. But if you'll stay with me, you'll get my point. Number two, real heroes get medals. They get medals. We ought to want to give to our missionaries. And not just our mission support, but when they're here, whether we support them or where it's a possible family, we ought to want to treat them special. You say, well, what are they doing to deserve something special? I know they're just following the Lord just like you are, but they sold their earthly possessions and are leaving the land of their freedom and going to a place where, as an adult, they're going to have to learn a new language and watch over the kids like never before and grow up with a lot of the things that we enjoy that they were not going to have. When they come home, you ought to be willing to do something special for them. Real heroes, number three, get monuments. I told you not to get ahead of me. We're not going to build a giant statue called Ode to Steve Harris, all right? It's not at all what we're doing. So what do you mean monuments then? I'll tell you what monuments we're talking about. Paul said it this way, what is our crown of rejoicing? Is it not you in the presence of the Lord? So what's the monument we can make for our missionaries and all the students in there, for our pastors too? I wrote this down. I'll just read it because it's better. I'll mess it up if I just don't read what I wrote down. Listen closely. Failure to honor church missionaries, pastors, missionaries by a church is seen in the absence of surrendered lives in the next generation to be missionaries, pastors, and church members. Failure to honor church missionaries and missionaries to honor churches is seen in the absence of surrendered lives in the next generation to be missionaries, pastors, and church members. Everybody look at me, I'll explain. Brother Elijah, can I embarrass you just a tad, right? And I don't mean anything negative by this, all right? I'm not really waiting for permission. He loves me. You love me, you trust me, right? Our young men really like Brother Elijah. They really like him. And I'm glad for that. He's a fine young man. Thankful for him. They like him. And he's got a job right now. And, you know, he used to have money till his rig broke down. Now he's broke. Right, brother? Spent a lot of money fixing that thing, right? But I heard it from my son. I heard it from Sam. I heard it from Daniel. I heard it from Coy. I heard it from Corby. I heard it. I'm not making this up. Man, I want to be like Elijah. Man, he does what he wants. He eats steak every night. They think you do, right? He doesn't. He's got money in his pocket. I just want to get that job and be like him. And if that's what God wants our boys to be, he's a fine young man. But I wonder in 2018 that we do not see young men surrendering to be pastors. And we don't see young men surrendering to be missionaries. Because what have we showed them? That the missionary is the guy that goes out and we hear about the things he does wrong. And he's always needing something. And he's sad and lonely. And when he comes home, I got news for you. We don't worship people. But maybe if we thank them like we probably should. And maybe if we said, hey, this man right here is doing a great work. Man, praise the Lord for someone who shows this sacrifice. And we do what we can. Maybe they won't be scared to death to be him. Maybe, I don't preach on the pastor tonight, but maybe if the pastor, you know, people say thank you, and he's not dragging himself home every night, and people are doing their part, and everybody's excited, and they just love the pastor, and any chance we can, we're going to give him honor, as honors do. If he's not doing it, don't give it to him. But we make a big deal out of that person who's dedicated their entire life to serving God. Maybe they might think, you know, maybe I can do this. Hey, you don't do it for stuff. And that is, if that's the point you're thinking, you've not heard me tonight. I'm just saying that maybe, and it's not just that, church members, what should we be doing to one another? Loving each other. Caring for each other, encouraging one another. It's great to be a member of Kazzato Baptist Temple. It's great to be a member of whatever church God places you in. It's a wonderful thing. It's a privilege. I get to serve God. I get to have this ministry. I get to give. I get to do this. And you know what happens? Our kids grow up and say, that's what I want to do. But 2018, that's not what most independent Baptist 19-year-olds are doing. I wonder if some of it is because all we ever tell them is the things we don't agree with and the people that get on our nerves. That maybe they're saying, why would I want to stay with this? So maybe if we looked at these people and the church like we should, maybe we might see people surrendering and going on like we should. Working together. Because the Lord gave to the church evangelists and pastors and teachers. Think on it with me.